Hello and welcome to the Investment Insights podcast by Select Property. I'm Amber Furr and I'm super excited to be here today in Manchester with Randall Bryan, Deputy CEO of Aviva Studios, home to Factory International. So firstly, hi Randall.
How are you? I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Good. Very much a mouthful of a title there.
It is, but you nailed it.
thank you.
Off the bat. Nice work.
So do you want to just start by giving us a bit of an introduction? People should know, but for those who don't know, what actually is Factory International and what is the role of Aviva?
Thanks for the question. So Aviva Studios is a generationally defining arts, culture and music venue that recently opened in Manchester in an area called St. John's. The vision for Aviva Studios has always been to bring multiple different artistic genres together under one roof. So traditionally, when you invest in arts and culture in a city, you might build an opera house over there, you might build a theatre over there, you'll have a gallery here, and maybe you'll have a music space there, because they all, whilst they have similarities, they all have their unique attributes to make them work. What we've tried to do is create a bit of a transformer where you can house all of those different artistic genres together under one roof. And what that enables us to do is to create multidisciplinary art. So we can have a theatre performance that turns into a music gig. We can have a classical opera that turns into an exhibition. You can really start to play with different artistic configurations. The project has been in ideation for a decade, and the ambition of it is really vast. It's all about creating a destination where the world's greatest artists want to come to Manchester to make pioneering new work. The main kind of star of the venue is an area we call the Warehouse, which is a huge, expansive, creative destination for artists to think as imaginatively vertically as they do horizontally. So it's incredibly high. It's 21 meters in height. That's kind of four double-decker buses stacked on top of each other. So it's an incredibly tall space, but it's incredibly deep as well. So you can fit a Boeing 747 jet nose to tail with a full wingspan in this amazing space called the Warehouse. That is one of the largest kind of creative spaces in Europe, if not the world. And what that means is that artists come and they just ask us when can they start, because their imagination is going wild with how they can express themselves over such a vast space. So it is a bit of a transformer. It's a remarkable project. We opened with our celebration of the festival in the summer, and then we've had lots of great programming on since. You asked me about Aviva and Aviva's interest in the project. So they are the naming rights partner for the building. So the building is Aviva Studios. Yeah. We are Factory International. We make the incredible artistic work that kind of brings that venue to life. But they're much more than a naming rights partner. They work with us on our insurance. So they insure the building, making sure the building is safe and operable. But over and above that, they invest in our Factory Academy, which I'll go and speak about, I'm sure, a little bit later on, which is a skills and training program. They invest in our sustainability ambition, not only in kind of monetary investment to make sure that we can invest in sustainable innovation in the venue, but also the skills and the knowledge that they bring, you know, from investing in so many different green assets. They also invest in sort of our program, so making sure that we're able to bring world-class artwork to the city of Manchester and really enrich the cultural offer in the region. So as a partner, we couldn't be any more thrilled to have them by our side. And for them, I'm sure they're excited about all of the great kind of creative things that are going to come out of this partnership over the next decade and beyond.
Okay, amazing. So I saw on your LinkedIn, it's going to sound a bit stalkery, in the last 24 hours, you actually opened a post with a statement that was, it's impossible to talk about Manchester without using the word culture. And I thought that was really interesting. And do you think that that's something that's quite recent in terms of, you know, Manchester's cultural renaissance? Or do you think that it's something that's always been there and is a real sort of intrinsic part of the city, but it's just that, you know, the rest of the world is finally sort of catching on to that?
Manchester's having a moment. You know, it's fair to say. If you look at last year, we opened Aviva Studios, the biggest cultural investment the UK government has made into an art venue since the Tate. So a massive cultural investment into the region. We had Chanel shutting down parts of the city, doing incredible catwalks in the rain, which always adds a little bit of Manchester's authenticity to
proceedings.
It had to rain. Yeah, of course it did. You know, we're on the dawn of opening Co-op Live, Not us personally, thankfully. I don't have enough energy to go through it again, but I think Co-op Live is going to be one of the biggest music arenas in the whole of Europe.
Is that in the next sort of few months as well, that opening?
Yeah, I think that they're on countdown now, so I think that they're really getting close to opening that venue. And so all eyes a little bit were on Manchester.
Yeah.
I'll talk about the cultural offer in a moment, but also if you're a business, you're thinking about how you diversify your investments, your staff base, your office facilities, how you diversify those and move them out of London. And actually Manchester's an incredible destination for acquiring young talent. It's a more affordable city than London, so people can actually come and take up kind of career opportunities here and have enough money to live well rather than sharing a bed sit with five people in London.
Yeah.
And so great talent here. There's great kind of creative energy. And I think the reason why people want to move, the reason why businesses want to invest is because it's an exciting destination. It's an exciting place. It has energy. And I think that that energy is produced by the cultural offer. You know, if we take all of the music history, we take all of the artistic movements, take all of the cultural offer out of the city, then it becomes a bit of a barren, technocratic kind of destination.
It's what sets it apart, isn't it? Completely.
Exactly. And in terms of, you know, whether Manchester's culture has been intrinsic in its DNA throughout its history, I'd absolutely say yes.
Yeah.
I am from the generation, my brother's a decade older than me, and they were in the Stone Roses in spiral carpets, Happy Mondays, you know, kind of birth of the Oasis, Britpop movement. And I used to kind of catch on their coattails and come up to Manchester when I was 13, 14, 15. And
amazing.
It was such an exciting place because it felt like you could be anyone from anywhere and fit in. So when I was in Nottingham, you know, it was very much, if you're going to go out, you've got to have your best shoes on. They've got to have a buckle. You've got to wear a belt. And it was so serious having a night out. And everyone was trying their best to really show off and you know, make grand appearances. And then you get to Manchester and you'd have that crowd that really wanted to, you know, put on their best, finest for a night out, stood next to someone in a flower pot hat and an Adidas tracksuit, and they'd just be having a chat. And there was no idea that, you know, you have to look a certain way, you have to be a certain character in order to get in. And that was really refreshing for me and really enlivening.
I think it's very much still the case now, isn't it? I mean, I just went for a coffee before I came here and there was a girl sat there in cat ears and black lipstick and I was like, I'm so boring. Like, I love that you can just do that and no one even looks twice. I think that is something that it has massively maintained, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a real cosmopolitan city. You know, it is an incredibly diverse city. And again, back to that cultural thing, the reason why people can express themselves is because they see themselves reflected in the music scene, in the nightlife economy, in the artistic and creative scenes that actually make you feel like you're a part of it, make you feel like you are welcome, make you feel like you you can express yourself in any way that you like.
Absolutely. And I think that historically, arts and culture has been something that's taken on a bit of like a highbrow connotation. Whereas I think now, and especially the way that Manchester does it, as you said, the whole purpose is to make it as accessible, relatable to everyone, and to give people that sense of belonging and like it's theirs to consume, to create.
I agree. I also think that we should always appreciate that everyone deserves to experience all levels of artistic and creative performance. So in the sense of, you know, I'm passionate about kids going to see opera because whilst they might not think opera's for them, having the experience of going to see high art and fine art allows people to understand that this is a world that if they want to develop their interests or careers or experience in, they can. You know, I think we've got to make sure that we focus on protecting the fine arts, making sure that people feel like they're welcome to go and see those kind of what have been more exclusive artistic experiences. And you never know, it might inspire them to learn their own craft, to take up ballet, to take up song, take up performance. So I think that that's also critically important, that we don't just try to, I don't want to say dumb down the offer or make it more mainstream.
To dilute it.
Do you know what I mean? I think we've also got to make sure that we just provide access to those high-end artistic experiences. And you know, what better way to be inspired than go and see something that you've never seen before?
Yeah.
And if you leave and say, actually, opera's totally naff, why do they all dance around in tights or whatever?
Yeah.
Then that's fair fine. Enough. Yeah. That's your interpretation. But at least you've been welcome. At least you've seen it. At least you can then make up your mind as to whether or not it's something for you rather than having that access denied. Look, I see something like Factory International, and I've said it before, as a bit of a culture bomb. You know, it'll arrive and it will challenge people to see stuff that they've never contemplated, comprehended or imagined.
Yeah.
Some of it they'll leave being absolutely blown away. Some of it they'll leave saying, I have no idea what I just watched.
What just happened.
But at least their cultural bar and the cultural bar of the city is being elevated because they are seeing the world's greatest artists and performers bringing their craft to this city. So all of a sudden the artistic bar raises and then anyone else that wants to come to Manchester to do great stuff, look around and say, actually, you know what? That exhibition that happened last week was absolutely mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's now Manchester's expectation of their cultural experience. And so it ups everyone's game.
Absolutely,
And I'm a massive believer that all boats rise. You know, if we do great stuff, then it challenges other people to get involved or produce great stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, that kind of all boats rise, we just get more great cultural offer.
Okay, and as part of Manchester's sort of DNA, as we've discussed, you know, it celebrates diversity and inclusion. When you sort of came to Open Factory, of course, that would have been at the sort of central ethos of the brand, of, you know, the performers, of the artists that you have. But how did you sort of tackle that? And how did you make sure that it was something that felt really authentic?
Yes, great question. The one thing that Manchester doesn't need is a monolithic arts and culture venue that's down a part of town that no one's ever really been to, that feels like it's only designed for the 1%, right? Mm-hmm. That would be, if there were to be a failure of our project or any other project that's coming to the city, it is that it becomes exclusive and therefore reclusive.
Yeah.
And so we do everything we can to make sure that it feels representative of Manchester and communities. One of the best examples of that is that we opened the venue with a show called The Welcome, which was a festival of community co-created events. Okay. So we basically had a number of what we call neighbourhood organisers that really wanted to work with us on the programming to make sure that the programming reflected their communities, make sure the programme felt like it reflected them, their identities in an authentic way. There's no way that you can, without that lived experience, there's no way you can really make a relatable show. You know, you can try and mimic a cultural experience, but unless you've lived it, you can never really authentically do it. So all of those neighbourhood organisers combined to help schedule, programme, produce the kind of cultural programme that took over the venue for that weekend. And we had everything from African circus through to folk festivals through to kind of spoken word. And it was just a beautiful celebration of different cultures, different foods, different faces, different fragrances, different flavours. And that's not traditional in an arts and culture venue, to be honest with you. When I went in there and you see the diversity of audience, you think, we're really onto something here. You know, we really have broken the mold and we're really seeing a completely different audience than you'd see in a lot of other traditional arts venues, and we've just got to keep that up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about kind of representation, isn't it, and making sure that, you know, your the art that you're putting out there is reflective of the community in which it's serving.
Yeah, 100%. And also, we need to be appealing to a broad audience, right? We need a lot of people in that building in order to make it a success. So it's a business imperative that we reflect these audiences, because that's the growth area. They're the untapped markets that probably didn't think the arts were for them. So actually in identifying them, taking them on a journey with us, we're here for generations. You know, the project's not 5-10 years. We hope that in 100 years, when I'm laid to rest and look back, whatever, like, this project will still be there. So what are those generations of young people going to use the venue for, and how do they feel like this venue really caters for their imagination and creativity?
Amazing. Okay. So the Chanel Fashion Show, as we touched on, is estimated to have brought in £8 million of a boost to the local economy. How does arts and culture directly benefit the local economy?
The venue will have over 1 million people through the doors per year.
Wow, okay.
And that means international tourism. So, you know, the festival every year, not actually spoken. Manchester International Festival is the festival that really inspired the idea for this building. Mm-hmm. And it's a biennial festival. It's been going on in Manchester for nearly 20 years or just over.
Yeah, is it 2007? Yeah, I think
that sounds about right.
Yeah,
I've done your homework. Well done. Should have done mine. but look, it's an incredible festival. It celebrates creativity across the city every other year, and that's going to continue to happen within the venue and across the city. So we'll continue to bring that international tourism through. The project itself, obviously, it's a large-scale project. Takes a lot of skilled workforces, both in-house, freelance. There's going to be 1,500 jobs created directly or indirectly from this project over the span of our business plan.
Okay.
It will contribute £1.1 billion towards the economy of Manchester over the duration of the plan. So it's, whilst it's a cool, fun, funky venue, mm-hmm. it does have enormous kind of economic contribution to the region. I again, back to that, wider businesses want to invest here because they look around the city and they say, mm-hmm. there are some incredible venues, there are some incredible destinations that I know that my staff are going to go, are going to enjoy. It feels vibrant, it feels energetic. So I think there's lots of indirect business investment into the region because they see all of this great kind of performance space.
So as we've discussed, creativity has always been key to Manchester, you know, from music to literature. But how important is it when you're looking to the future of arts in Manchester to sort of honour and respect the city's heritage? You know, when you see these kind of shiny new skyscrapers and the evolving skyline, some people can be resistant to change. Mm. How do you sort of tackle that when you look to the future of art in Manchester?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, we are, you know, Factory International, built off the legacy of Factory Records, mm-hmm. and what that means to Manchester is enormous. Peter Saville still works with us as one of our creative advisors, who is obviously instrumental to the identity and the visual design of Factory Records. We have some Hacienda touches and features within the interiors of the building to really kind of ground it back in that history of Manchester's rave culture, which I was too young to really enjoy. But
I'm gutted about that.
If I could have gone back in time, I'd have been Hacienda kid for sure. I was at Sankey's, so I now live near Sankey's, and it's
nice.
It's fair to say it's changed somewhat over the
years. I miss Sankey's as well.
You need a time machine because it was.
I know, devastated.
It was a great party. We used to fly from Ibiza to Sankey's. How mad's that?
What a life!
So strange, yeah. Still alive, that's the lucky to be. But anyway, apart from all that reveling, your question was about how we pay homage. So look, we do pay homage, and we're proud to, incredibly proud to still carry some of that Factory record legacy with us. Mm-hmm. We opened up the venue with Danny Boyle, Ez Devlin, and a dance crew called Boy Blue, reimagining The Matrix in a show called Free Your Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't had a chance to check that out, I think there's still a BBC Imagine documentary that you can go on and you can actually hear about the project. And I know that they streamed the Free Your Mind over the festive period as well. So hopefully it's still online for people to check out. It was remarkable. The reason I reference that is because it all started with Turing's, you know, machine, the birth of the computer, and mm-hmm. that was something that was kind of generated and built and designed out of Manchester. And so every time we look at our programme, we always think, what is it about Manchester that we can draw on in order to tell authentic, real and disruptive stories from Manchester's past? I think there is a risk, though, that we dwell on Manchester's previous identity, especially in the music space. So I mentioned earlier on, you know, loving that kind of Britpop movement. But every time I speak to a younger person or the next generation of Mancunians, they roll their eyes and they're a bit like, Jesus, mate, we don't all wear flower pot hats anymore. We can move on like Oasis would decades ago.
Still nothing like it, though, in a Manchester pub.
Look,
when you hear Oasis or the Stone Roses.
You're never going to get me away from it. I love this stuff. But the point is, people are ready for Manchester to go on its next chapter of its, especially music, journey. And we've seen that for a few of the grime artists that have come up, you know, Bugsy.
I was just going to say,
And an H and things like that. So there are some real...
I am DDB. She's from Manchester. Love her.
See, there you go. You learn something every day.
Yeah.
I thought that was sounded like a URL to me. Something that I type into teletext in order to get some.
She's great.
Sounds great. I'll check her out.
Yeah.
Look, I think we're always tapping into that kind of Manchester's cultural history.
Yeah.
It is so rich, but also being cognizant that we need to be a massive part of the next chapter.
Yeah, to stay relatable and encourage that innovation for sure. So I'm currently based in Dubai, but I lived in Manchester City Centre for 5 years. It remains my favourite city. But when people ask me, what's the thing?
Are we currently in Dubai, by the way? Is that, are we supposed to be in Manchester?
Oh, no, we're meant to be in Manchester.
So we are in Manchester.
Yeah, we can say that.
So
yeah.
We officially are in Manchester. Genuinely,
yeah.
We are here.
We are really here, yeah. But no, I live in Dubai, but I come back here for the podcasts. But when people ask me what I miss most, it's so hard to define. And I always start, and my friends laugh at me, because the first thing I say is like exposed brick.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, but I'm like, there's so much connotation with that, like the sort of industrial feel.
Yep.
It's so intangible when you walk around Manchester, the history and the legacy and the lineage. And I think something that's really nice about it is that it's a walkable city.
Yep.
You know, within half an hour, you can be from one side to the other. And I think that is quite unique. And I think that with Manchester, that sort of concentrated spirit is what really pays and feeds the essence of the city. So why Manchester for you?
Nicely put that, by the way. Manchester's it's a great city to look up. You know, we don't often look up, but when you do look up around Manchester, you see just how ornate a lot of the buildings are. You talk about the red brick, and I can see it around the room that we're in today, and I live in the converted mill in Ancoats.
Nice.
And, you know, to be able to have a home within a historic landmark is a real privilege, and it's got a real spirit and identity. Incredibly hard to heat, by the way, bricks, it turns
yes.
out. So that's not been so
kind
to me.
I also used to live in one here.
Over the winter months. But what is it for me? I think Manchester is a fair city. I think that people genuinely, and I do mean this, I think people genuinely want the best for each other.
Mm.
And you can't say that about many cities. I kind of grew up in London, and it's incredibly competitive, and you turn around and someone's ate your lunch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It really is a scrap constantly to to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Manchester, I think there's that spirit of collaboration. There's a spirit of endeavour. You know, it's very working class. It's very grounded. And in that, there's a humility where people say, yeah, I'd love to help support you if you've got the right attitude and you've got the right work ethic and you really want to do it. And that comes from the unique moment that Manchester find itself in, because there is opportunity. There
Absolutely,
is real
yeah.
opportunity to create remarkable businesses, to create remarkable friendships, remarkable experiences. And so I think everyone's on a bit of this journey together, and that does create this willingness for everyone to encourage and support each other. And that's wicked, you know, that's so good. I always say, if you're under the age of 30, why wouldn't you be in Manchester?
Yeah.
Why would you be anywhere else in the world? I mean, if you can...
I mean, I'm nodding, but I agree.
But if you can get over, if you get over the weather, which can be you know, a challenge and a little bit tough, but you get over that. And I think it's on par with any other city that we always talk about so romantically, whether that's a Berlin or a, you know, Lisbon
or New York, even
or New York or Miami. You know, Manchester does have a really disruptive second city essence about it, and that's where the fun stuff is happening now.
Totally,
you know,
agree,
outside of the satiated big capitals, and so it's really got a rebellious energy, and it's got everything that you need in order to have a world-class career and a brilliant personal, private, family life, if that's what you're after. I think Manchester finds itself at a truly unique moment where you've got such investment and innovation going on in the city and the region. The biggest challenge is how you balance that out so that it remains an accessible and affordable and inviting place for people to think that they can come and invest the best years of their lives and careers. If any city in the world can create that balance, I think it's going to be Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen lots of gentrification projects, and it's incredibly hard to abate investment and abate kind of innovation. But I think Manchester's always been really, really invested in making sure that communities feel like they're part of that trajectory. The other thing I think is when you see world-class venues like Aviva Studios come into town, it means that young people across the city can wake up and realize that if they want to have access to some of the world's greatest creative careers, they can do that on their doorstep. And I think that's the first time that I can genuinely say that's happened outside of London. You know, it's always been this idea that you had to go to the big city in order to get your break. Whereas now, not just Avenue, Co-op Live, the incredible football clubs that are around here, the bar, hospitality trades, if you want a world-class career, if you want world-class opportunities, you need look no further than your front doorstep. And that's a remarkable thing for the next generation of Manchester.
Absolutely. I think we talk so much about people moving here, but as you say, for that younger generation that already live here, the opportunities are on the doorstep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Randall, thank you so much. That's been an amazing conversation. Thank you.
No, really enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. And to everyone watching, you can subscribe on your platform of choice. We're on YouTube, Google, Apple, and Spotify.